tell you, I, Brendan, the
Francisco,
and the
Marty,
the, as we are, distinguished gentlemen podcasters of no fewer than 20 episodes, with the power vested in us by ourselves, do now humbly declare this Vicennial episode anniversary of the Hemapun Project officially and unequivocally open.
But seriously, hey, 20 episodes.
Hey.
I don't think I've ever stuck with 20 of anything.
This 20th episode of the Hemapun Project is called Twental Floss.
Folks, families, friends, welcome. This is the Hemapun Project, and if you're just joining us, why are you just joining us on a 20th episode?
You've got 20 episodes to catch up on.
That's silly. You can go back to the start if you want. It's a podcast. That's the nature
the
of it. It's on demand. Hi, Frank. Hi, Marty.
Hello, hey. Hello.
And it's pretty cool still doing this with you guys. That's awesome.
We've been doing it 20 times in a row, and I think there's only 100-something episodes in the whole season run?
Yeah.
Whole show run?
Yeah, it's such an achievement.
I hope our season gets renewed.
Yeah. Oh, to be fair to us, we talk a lot longer than 7 minutes.
This is true.
But we're just talking. We're not really creating the best kids show that I've ever seen.
Which kids show are we talking about, Brendan?
We're talking about the show Bluey. Have you seen it? If not, what the heck are you doing?
Go watch it.
Go watch it now.
Then come back.
We'll wait.
We'll pause.
You press pause now. Oh, wait. If I tell them to press pause, how will they know?
No. There'll be 7 minutes of silence.
7 minutes of silence.
An episode.
I'll put that in.
But what episode do they need to watch?
You said silence, not
girl. Not elevator music.
Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. What episode should they watch?
This episode of Bluey is called Markets.
And you know why?
Why?
Because I suggested this episode. See if you can guess why.
Because you wanted to put on a medieval voice, like the medieval market style fair?
Oh, look, I'll take that. That's a good guess. It's completely wrong.
Okay.
But, you know,
it's got like the guy playing a guitar, which is pretty much Brendan.
It is pretty much me, isn't it? I do love the busker. Who likes to dance?
Oh, thanks, matey. $5. That deserves a song.
That's a really good busker. It's a really good, because voiced by, of course, Geoff Bush, the amazing musician behind the whole score of the show. I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good, Geoff Bush, man.
Wow. As I said, the character is so clearly based on you. I've been listening to you for a lot longer than 7 minutes.
This is such a compliment because I think he's a good-looking dog, too. Handsome, cool-looking, earthy kind of guy with the glasses.
He's got the black glasses.
He's very bohemian. Yeah.
How many times, Brenny, have you had $5 put in your guitar case, though?
Oh, dearie me. I don't think I've ever seen that.
He's rolling in the money, this guy.
Yeah, $5 is a big
$5
deal.
$5? That deserves a song.
No, Brendan, why did you choose this one?
Because it's episode 20 of the show.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Unless I'm horrendously wrong.
Episode 20 of season one.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You'd be right. Yeah.
No, I thought, episode 20, let's do episode 20. I thought I'd sneak that one in there. But I love this episode. It's so good.
Marty, would you care to give us the bare bones of this episode, please?
Actually, before you do, Marty, I was thinking about these bare bones, and I made a comment in the intro that we're very distinguished.
Yes.
And a lot of Marty's bare bones are very distinguished, and I thought, we'll cut this out if you don't think it's a good idea, but I thought maybe we could have a little bit of distinguished sort of music. Ooh. Underneath.
Okay.
Because it really conjures, whenever you give the bare bones, Marty, it always conjures up for me Masterpiece Theatre.
Okay.
Do you remember Masterpiece Theatre?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Masterpiece Theatre, but I do know what you probably know it from, Marty. From, of course, Monsterpiece Theatre. When Cookie Monster on Sesame Street used to.
Vincent twice. Vincent twice.
That was a deep cut.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
so,
let's see if I can
set the mood with some distinguished sort of Masterpiece Theatre kind of music, and you can give us the usual sort of theatrical kind of bare bones that you do.
Well, Brendan, Frank, I really don't need to say to you two, my fellows here, that this episode is really about unpacking Keynesian economics. You have growing interest in the example of the Tooth Fairy. We have the shifting hands of money around the park. Demand and desire of the toffee apple. So all of these things exemplify this 20th. No, it's not really about that at all. They go to a market and they've got $5 and they have to figure out what
go
to
go
spend
to a market.
On.
They go to a market, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They go to the market and they've got money.
It's well picked up.
But it is about money. Mm. And money is one of those interesting things that's kind of hard to deal with kids because it's this very adult concept.
Yeah.
But we have to go back to the start, don't we?
Yeah.
You got to love the spit take because it's the music, you know. Yeah. Bluey comes in and she's like, yeah, I'm doing it's the flossing music. Chili's flossing. You're like, hey, the Tooth Fairy came. Oh, that's great. Yeah. She gave me $5. And then the music cuts. Spit take.
$5. That's how much Bluey's friends are.
Yeah. I think the adults are having a conversation.
Yeah. I like the looks back and forth. Yeah. That moment there is just a really fantastic thing of like the stuff I'm sure I'm going to have to get used to of just how much stuff has changed since you were growing up.
Yeah.
It is about inflation. Sorry, I think I said interest in my thing. Damn it. It's about inflation and yeah, the changing expectations around things. The fact that you have to stick alongside the other kids who are out there.
Yeah.
You know, we talked in Duck Cake about mixing in with other parents and showing that you're a good parent. By, you know, making the cakes and doing all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just in a few lines in a story that goes over the kids' heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is the going rate.
And just, I love the way they're talking about it. Yeah. That's how much the Tooth Fairy brought, you know, all of Bluey's friends. And they're just kind of, it's obvious to me now as an adult that they're talking about this. Spoilers. Maybe I'll give any parents, you know, a chance to maybe skip to the next episode if your kids are in the car and you're listening to this. You know, it's this fictionalized world. Marty has fallen off his chair. He's devastated. Oh man,
this is outrageous.
I should have told Marty to skip to the next episode. It's so true. Like, I mean, it's funny how memory works. Like as a kid, I don't think my parents were using that tone. They must have been. Yeah, it's really that whole time of your life as a kid where the parents are just like in it for the magic for you. And it's just, it takes me back to when I was old enough to know, but my siblings weren't.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it takes me back to because I recognize that sort of tone. It was a real point in my life. I remember when I really felt grown up where I got to
you were in on it.
Yeah.
For real life, guys.
Oh. For real life?
How much did you get from the Tooth Fairy for a tooth? How much?
I reckon it was...
What was the economy like at your place?
I reckon it was gold coin.
Yeah, gold. I said $1 or $2.
Oh, you're doing all right. I think I remember getting some 50-cent pieces. My wife tells stories of like the Tooth Fairy being mean and doing things like freezing a coin halfway up a glass.
Oh, man.
Must have been like, you know, half water, freeze it, coin, fill with water, freeze the whole thing.
What?
That's a little good tip. If you ever go away on a holiday, extended period of time, it's a good idea to get a container of water, freeze it, put a coin on top, put it in your freezer. And that way, when you get home, if everything's frozen in your freezer, it could have gone off and then frozen again. But if the coin has sunk to the bottom of the container, you know that at some period, the power that went out and the coin fell and then it refroze. So that's a little giveaway of whether all your food in your freezer has actually thawed at some point and gone bad.
This is Food Safety Podcast with Brendan Williams in charge.
Join us next week when I'm even less relevant.
Frank, you shouldn't be on a Food Safety Podcast. You're the not what not to do, I'm afraid.
A little trick there for all you punters.
Speaking of food safety... German sausage.
German sausage. German sausage. And I'm a vegetarian for 9 years. German sausage. Those German shepherds are pretty cool looking dogs. I love that they're just German shepherds in the German sausage trailer. And there's so much of that.
The dogs you would associate with it. Like we get what I assume is Winton's dad.
Yep.
Is a British bulldog and he's got the toffee apple.
Lovely jubbly.
Lovely jubbly. That is a very a classically British thing. You've got Indy, who I'm not sure what species of dog she sort of is classified as, but has a bit of a hippie sort of vibe to it. Yep. And certainly Indy's mum. She's got the peace chain. She's got her long sort of unkept hair and stuff.
I love that she's got Dreamcatcher earrings.
Yes.
That just makes her.
Yes. You know. The Dreamcatcher earrings. And she's got, I don't know if you can see it during the episode. I know you can see it when she's dancing cutting a rug at the end. Yep. She's got that crystal around her neck.
The Reiki crystal. Excellent.
Hey, speaking of the crystals, this leads into probably my one favorite doggy treat of this episode. Ooh. And I'd only saw it recently. With an episode like this, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of background characters. Mm. You know, blink and you'll miss it sort of cameos. We get to see our old mate, Pat. And I think it's just after the horse has pooped and the girls run away screaming.
Not in the American version or the CBeebies version.
Yeah, that gets cut out, doesn't it?
Yeah, because we can't have kids knowing that horses poop.
Yeah, because that's a bit too real life, isn't it?
No spoilers. Horses poop, kids. Get used to it.
They've skipped that first part of the episode. Now they've come back to hear us.
They've gone, oh, maybe he stopped talking about that thing that we weren't supposed to hear.
Horses poop,
play
kids.
Horses poop, kids. Wow, what a place to come back in on.
Anyway, in the background, we see our old friend Pat, and what the stall appears to be some sort of healing crystals type tent. You can see there's a dog outline with all the various sort of, you know, points on it. There's the, you know, sort of crystals that supposedly help in healing and all this
alternative
stuff.
Alternative medicine.
Correct, that's exactly it. You see Pat there having a browse at these crystals with his not-so-sure look on his face, and he just... I just sort of, you know, rears back a little bit, lurches forward a bit, looks at it, his head cocks to the side, and he's like, shakes his head. Nah, I don't know about this. Like, and that's it. That's
nice. That's very Pat.
I thought he was looking at something else. I thought he was like looking at jewelry or something like that. So I created this entire headcanon about him trying to buy something for his wife.
Ooh,
I'm not sure not if bad. We know if the mum's existent in this.
I don't think we've ever met.
So maybe that makes an even better story. Maybe it's he's trying to impress a new lady and he's trying to figure out what she might like.
Hey, maybe Lucky's mum is very alternative.
Maybe
and she's into the crystals. Yeah. And Pat knows that
and
about
he
her
has
because he's
no
a good
idea what and a good sort husband. Of yeah. things he should get. Anyway, that too. Like there's a great little bit of business going on with Lucky's dad.
And speaking of the dog breeds sort of being relevant to what they're selling. Now, I'm going to crucify the pronunciation of this. You might have a better chance, Marty, with your Dutch heritage. But we meet, I think for the first time, the Poffinger dog. And I think I looked it up and I think he's a Kuikehunde. A Kuikehunde.
Okay.
I don't know how to say that in Dutch, but it's a, I looked it up. It's like a spaniel type Dutch breed of dog.
Well, there you go.
And he's got the Poffinger van.
Poffinger.
Possibly my favorite line of the episode. Yeah, I'll tell the story about
definitely
it.
Definitely my favorite line of the episode.
No, do you want to take it then, Marty?
The best line of the episode is like, well, that's all they have in
That's what I was getting
at. Which I'm pretty sure is something that you could equally say about all Dutch people.
Yeah.
They're entirely made up of wheat and gluten and sugar and whatever it might be. As Brendan said, I've got a Dutch background. I have an incredible sweet tooth, and I think everybody that, you know, like, there's a great lineage of people going back to our homeland who have a ridiculous sweet tooth with all the things like Hagelslag and like.
And Stroopwafels.
Yeah, that's it. All those sorts
Stroopwafels
of things.
And like, Draute Hagelslag.
Chocolate for breakfast, guys. Come on.
Why not? I used to, I'm a postie, and on the postie run is a winery, and the general manager of the winery used to be this Dutch fellow. And I used to date a girl who had Dutch heritage. And I was like, oh, you're from Holland? And we were talking about that stuff. And I said, oh, we've always got Hagelslag in the house. And he's like, yes, chocolate for breakfast. Of course. Why not? Sorry about my, once again, butchering any sort of Dutch accent. But I just love that bit. For anyone who doesn't know, like, Poffinger's are incredible.
I don't know if I've actually ever had one.
Oh, pancakes are amazing.
So they must be from...
But how do you make them better? You make them little, really cute and fluffy and tiny. And there is the reason why I love this dog and this bit so much is because in Adelaide, there is a Poffinger van that attends like every event. It's always in the Garden of Unearthly Delights at the Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. It's always there. And I always seek it out because they do Poffinger's and they do Oliebollen. And Oliebollen is also, and these are all the things that I learned from just hanging around a Dutch family for a bunch of years, and I just realized, man, what have I been missing out? And Oliebollen is like, it's like a donut mix, but it's got like fruit. Like, I love raisin toast and I love donuts, and it's like a donutty mix with like sultanas in it, but they're deep fried like beignets are deep fried, and they're dusted with sugar, and they will change your life. And you see them with these puffages, like they've got this big grill plate like what you'd cook pancakes on, but they've got these little indentations, so you pour the mix into these little grooves, and then they have these sticks, and you should see them do it. You should see them flip them. They're like, like it's like those YouTube videos that you see of old people who have been doing the same job all their lives, and they're just faster than any machine, and they just and flip these puffages, and so they're tiny little pancakes about like smaller than a biscuit, and you just have them. They put them on a plate, and they dust them with sugar, and you eat them with a fork, and it's magical. And I was at the Fringe earlier this year, and I found it because I always find this. I don't leave the Fringe without going and getting some puffages or some Ollie Bon. And I go and I get this plate of puffages, and I take a photo of it, and I sent it to my sister. I sent it to Erin, and I was just about to write, hey, do these have any wheat, gluten, sugar, dairy? And I was just about to write all those. But before I even got a chance to send it, she sent back, that's all they've got in there. I didn't even get a chance to make the joke, and she finished it.
This has been the Dutch MasterChef podcast with Brendan.
It was going to happen.
I was
going
to go with the Brendan Explains Food podcast.
Yeah,
Brendan, I probably listened to be honest.
Yeah, the Brendan Explains Dutch Food to a guy who's Dutch. Because that's how much of a jerk he is.
I want to go back, though, because this episode has a really nice spatial narrative progression. Because we start off in the house, then we're walking across the field to the markets. And I think that that's really evocative for me, because it's like, oh, yeah, you've parked somewhere and now we're walking across the, you know, like the football field or whatever it might be, to the other area that's got trees and like the dirt paths and the bits of grass.
Yeah, sadly, it is a part of the day that we all remember, the walk, the travel time.
I don't know if I see it as that negative. They're clearly having fun, so it's nice.
Well, I was a much lazier kid than you were, obviously. Then,
or you just had to walk a lot further in the country. Did you actually get to drive anywhere closer to it, or did you just have to?
I don't know. I feel like they were doing it on purpose. Maybe I was too chubby and they were trying to go, come on.
Too many puffages.
And then we're in the market space. And then there's, I think one of the things I like most about this episode is the presentation of the market. You know, you've got the eating space with the live music, and then just the various stalls.
And the soundscape in the background of, oh, come on, everyone, get your onions, you know. Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end of the episode, we're going back across the field. So I think that gives it a nice sort of loop to it.
I found this episode interesting from the Bluey character perspective. There's a lot of episodes where Bluey is, I won't say the villain of the piece, but she's the one who's not behaving in the ideal way, and that's the vehicle of which the lesson is learned through her eyes. In this one, she's doing what every parent would dream about. You know, she's got this $5. It's her $5 to spend, and her whole mantra with it is she goes, oh, well, I'll only spend it if Indy gets to share in whatever I buy. She thinks $5 is going to cover the pony ride, but then they say, no, it's $5 per person. She goes, all right, I've changed my mind. I won't do it unless Indy can be involved.
And the pony lady says exactly what I'm thinking at the time. Like, oh, you know, what a sweet kid.
You're a good friend.
You're a good friend.
Yeah. Yes, pony lady. I really like the pony lady. I can see who she is as a human person.
She's got that raspiness to her voice. She's just a raspiness. Yeah,
she's got that, like, long hair that's got that wave to it.
Horses wouldn't mess with her, you know.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I can imagine she just smells a little bit of tobacco. She's got that skin that's just been outside her entire life.
Yeah.
But she's got these very pretty, I love the horses as well, which are done up like, you know, My Little Ponies.
Yeah.
But they have dead eyes.
They're so unimpressed. They really don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And then they've got the double aww moment when they hear the names.
Yeah, that's really cute. Just both of the names, it just cuts back and it's just a like those little kidly friendship moments. They're just like on the same wavelength. It's just really cute.
We haven't talked about it yet, but like, I am not a big one for scatological poop humor.
Yeah.
This show gets me every time. I think it has just the right level. It's just the great button on that sort of sequence. Because you're like, oh yeah, that is exactly what happens.
On the topic of poop humor, so it was my son's second birthday a few weeks ago. Big fan of Bluey. Bluey's our part-time babysitter when stuff really goes pear-shaped. But we were looking to have a bluey themed sort of party and indeed a cake. And one of the things my wife looked at is amongst the many bluey toys you can get is the pool scene where effectively they're using Uncle Stripes as, sorry, Uncle Rad's pool. And one of the things my wife had looked at was you would buy that scene, the pool's effectively empty, but you would then fill the pool with jelly so that the jelly becomes part of the cake. Anyway, she had this great idea. I think about a week before, one of our friends who was coming to said party for Jack did exactly that and had bought the same figurine set we were looking at, filled it with jelly, and we're just like, well, damn it. Now we've got to pivot, right? What we pivoted to was this exact scene from Markets. There's a set you can buy with Bluey. She's got her big, please face eyes on because she's loving the fact she is riding, buttermilk?
Buttermilk, yeah.
Buttermilk the horse. Comes with a little bale of hay. So we did that. Ali dusted the entire top of the cake in green so it looks like they're on grass. And then right behind where the horse was planted, just a little handful of chocolate drops right at the back of the horse. I don't think many people noticed on the day, but I knew it was there. My wife, Ali, knew it was there, and that was enough.
You had to point it out to me today, actually. I was trying to be good at the party, and I didn't go near the cake, because otherwise there would have been no cake for anybody else. In fact, any international listeners out there, you might have been very confused by the poop.
Mm.
It's funny. Poop's funny. Come on.
And it's not the only time poop shows up in the show in general. There's a couple of other references to it, which, again, to your point, I'm pretty sure are altered for their international releases.
It's a crying shame. Mm. Horses poop, kids.
This is one of the Australian parts of the show that we demand.
Demand poop jokes.
German sausage poop jokes.
So we come to the crux of this episode where Bluey gets her $5 note back through this various exchange of passing hands through all the various stalls.
Oh, man, and didn't I want to mention it when we had your beautiful wife, Ali, in here and we were talking about Quiet Game.
Yep.
And the busker is in the background and he pays for it with that $5 note. And I was screaming out to mention it, but we did this episode before that episode, after that episode. And, yeah, so I didn't want to get newspaper rolled up and attacked, but that was so cool back to that episode. That's a pretty cool little doggy treat.
Then, of course, we have the tunes in the background presented by Brendan. I mean, sorry, what's Geoff Bush? Sorry, what does that? Does a busker have a name?
It's called Busker.
Yeah. Just Busker.
Yeah, on the Bluey Wiki, it's Busker. Sorry, I'm in my own little world now.
You are. And I love how everyone.
I'm just gonna loop that underneath the entire episode of me to go while other people are trying to talk. I'm not really going to do that.
And the busker is on the receiving end of Bluey's $5, which is a pretty nice little bow on the episode.
Mm. About the $5. So this is a really nice little Australian thing. So
yeah.
I think Australians are proud of our money.
Yes.
It's pretty cool because we have plastic money.
First country in the world who had polymer money.
Oh, really? Okay, well, there you go.
Canadians have polymer money and New Zealand have
so
polymer
money.
So
why is it worth bugger all compared to all the other currencies in the world?
I think we might still be edging over New Zealand by a little bit. I don't know.
The first time I noticed, I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, they've made them the same colours, you know, like the $5 and the $10 are the blue and the pink. But I've seen some, you know, sort of breakdowns and the characters are drawn on them in a similar sort of fashion. And like, so the notes are replicated really quite nicely.
And little on that little fun fact, the Queen, who's partly concealed by the Tooth Fairy sticker, is modelled on a Welsh corgi, which are like the kind of corgis that the Queen loves.
Bluey's finally decided that she wanted to put the money in the thing. She didn't have the money anymore because we had that moment of not, well, it turned into buyer's remorse, but like scarcity forcing a purchase. Like, oh no, there's only one left. Do I actually want this thing? Oh, I better buy it. Which I think we've all had. You know, it's one of the classic tactics people use to try and get us to buy things. So it's very relatable. Yeah, Frank's pointing at all the toys that he has around.
Low stock.
Frank's toy room where we record, and I can't fit them all in my field of vision at one point.
It's very scarcity. Impressive.
Scarcity made Frank the man he is.
Pre-order now. Like, yeah, okay.
So, you know, that's a very real moment, and I think you can feel when she has the buyer's remorse and is figuring out, oh, okay, no, money just doesn't come back again. And it's nice that Bandit doesn't just go, yeah, all right, here, have another $5. Yeah. He's like, well, no, yeah. This is the chance for the lesson about money.
It was already pretty shocked that she got the $5 to begin with.
$5!
Just on that, on the topic of the toffee apple, when the money starts its little trip around the fair, one of the places it goes to is with Winton and his dad, who at the front of their stall, and you see they've got a big sign with a picture of a toffee apple, and it's got a cross through it because they're sold out of toffee apples.
Out of toffee apples. There you go.
I was wondering what that was.
I love just toffee apple. Oh, old school.
I love the moment at the end because it's, as you said, Frank, it's Bluey putting the money into the case. Technically, it was the money given by Indy's mum to Indy.
Yep.
So it's a really nice idea that Indy's gone, hey, look, this is your money. I'm going to give it to you so you have the experience of putting it in the thing.
Yeah. Mm. Indy's a good friend as well.
Yeah.
As I'm sure the pony lady would agree.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and it's not a moment that's made of. So I'm just going to make it into a moment here talking about
Yeah, nice one, dude, man. And what are they doing at the end? She's put the $5 note into the case and they're all flossing and they're all having, a great time. So
flossing, dental reference. Got it. Yeah. Tooth Fairy. Yeah.
And yeah, so she did get to spend her $5 in a way that she doesn't regret.
Yeah.
And she was momentarily disappointed that she chose under pressure the toffee apple, but it does come back around because it might earn her another $5 because it takes out another tooth in the final bit.
And we've got to talk about Indy's mum's dancing, which because she's just catching
those dreams.
Oh, man, she is feeling it.
Every single gig that I've been to that Brendan's had at a bar, there is always one lady who's dancing like that, usually by herself.
The thing is, if you cut your
teeth. Or just like with one friend.
If you cut your teeth listening to and playing Creedence Clearwater Revival and Bad Company and like the Rolling Stones and all those like rockin' bands from back in the day, the young ladies who got into that at the time are now, you know, they're in more mature years, but they just haven't lost that style.
You're very kind. Yeah.
Very kind. Try to say that in the most pragmatic way possible. Well, gentlemen, thanks for doing 20 episodes so far with me.
Woohoo!
20!
20!
I said
no less than 20!
It's jolly good!
Well, I hadn't planned on ending like I begun, but I'm going to blame it on you that you got me back into the mood to talk like this. So thank you, gentlemen, for joining us for our very distinguished 20th episode.
Super distinguished. Very impressive.
Yes. Thank you, Martin.
My absolute pleasure.
And thank you very much for your very distinguished bare bones.
That was just, it's just absolutely...
And thank you, Frank, for having me around to your domicile to record this thing that we enjoy to do.
Lovely, Gubbly.
And thank you all for joining us. Please join us in future. I'll 300.
Lifted the fake grass.
If you hit a flamingo, you must have gone too far.
Old boy.
Created and produced by Frank, Brendan, and Marty. You can follow the Hammerbond Project on facebook.com/HammerbondProj, at HammerbondProj on Twitter, or Hammerbond_Project on Instagram. Theme featuring Nibblings, Kaylee, Jade, Ashley, and Reese, and PA announcements by brother-in-law, me, Josh. Thanks for listening, and remember to get down to Hammerbond for cheap shovels.